Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com. Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
This episode of Sewing Out Loud is brought to you by the Sew Here Box Refresh Edition. The Sew Here Box is a collection of curated sewing tools that you'll love to have in your sewing studio. We haven't done one in a while, and there are only 100 boxes available. Go to sewhere.com/go/box to order yours today. That's sewhere.com/go/box.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Sewing Out Loud. Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue.
And today we are going to address a piece of sewing advice that we see a lot around the interwebs. You know, where did we used to see questionable sewing advice before the internet? Would you hear
it? In our own shop. Well, you know, it used to happen a lot of times when we would have club, remember?
Yeah.
Like someone would bring something in and they would want to ask our advice, and maybe someone from the audience, you know, the group would pipe up and start telling them how to do it. And we considered it not proper information, so we had to be very diplomatic,
right,
in trying to say, well, maybe don't do it that way because it'll look as bad as this one did. But anyway, you know, I mean, there's a lot of diplomacy in owning a sewing machine store, I think.
Yeah, so the piece of advice that we are addressing right now is something I see it in our group sometimes. I've seen it elsewhere on the internet, and I've heard people say it before in person too. And that is that someone will come in and say, hey, I'm about to sew on knits for the first time. Any tips? And people will be like, oh, stretch them as you sew them. And I see this a lot. Like, oh, well, to get what? To keep this, I don't know what they're trying to do.
Well,
to keep the seam stretchy.
Well, a better part is stretch as you sew and use a walking foot. And I'm like, contradicted yourself.
The purpose of a walking foot.
The whole idea of a walking foot is so that you don't stretch something or don't get it out of shape or it doesn't crawl. One piece doesn't crawl, you know,
right,
more than
right,
the other or whatever. But stretch it. Well, it won't work.
Well, I mean,
if it does work, it's a fluke.
Yeah.
And sometimes things can be a fluke and work one time, you know, because something's not as that stretchy or whatever.
Well, and, you know, if someone, I think people can have like very different definitions of like what it looks like when you quote stretch something as you sew it.
I was gonna say, yeah, you know that I avoided ever using the word stretch.
Yes, we.
I would say
or
ease
pull.
Or
you
place
would, yes,
or
yes.
You know, I would net. I talk about like, you know, being kind to the fabric and coaxing it. Never this like wicked stretch that you think is gonna magically do something.
Right. Well, and I think sometimes when you see a video online, a lot of times people will share videos from like an industrial, like a factory, and I think it looks like the machine operator is manhandling the fabric,
right? And they're
but
not, because they know what they're doing,
yeah.
Right.
And what they're doing is they're just like placing it,
right?
Because they're probably not using pins,
right?
And so I do sort of show the fabric who's boss, where I say that,
right?
I don't let it get away from me. I keep my raw
right,
edges lined up,
right,
you know, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't, you know, stretch it out of on purpose.
Right, I think we see that. We see this a lot especially when somebody's putting, say, a neck band on or something, and they'll say, you need to stretch it as you put it on. Okay, so your neck band is cut a certain percentage shorter than your neck because you want it to basically sort of pull in or, what should I say? Like,
I have a whole thing about this, about neck bands. It's almost, it's not like you're trying to necessarily pull it in.
It's like it's, you're trying to cup it is what
well,
I would say.
You're trying to fit a smaller circumference neck band to a larger circumference neck opening. So it's sort of like, really, you're doing is manipulating that ribbing.
Right. You know? And the thing that I think you need to understand is, so you have this neck band, so you have your neck hole, right? And then you have this neck band and you have the edge that's going to attach to the, and then you have the outer edge.
Yeah.
So you've got three concentric circles.
Yes.
But they need to be getting smaller.
You have
in order to lay flat.
You have the cut line, you got the sewing line, and you have the edge of your neck band.
Yes.
And maybe they're maybe they're not circles, maybe they're concentric.
Well, they might
whatever,
they're concentric something. Yes.
So, yeah.
but they're you know, concentric tubes.
Yes.
Because it's like a tube.
Yes.
So that last one has to be smaller.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and yes, you are going to have to make that one that attaches to the garment, you are going to have to pull it a little bit,
But you shouldn't have
To
pull it.
And if you don't have a lot of experience, you better do the four sections. You better section it off.
I at least do two. It depends on how big the neckline is.
Sometimes I don't do any. But anyway.
If I need...
It depends on what I'm doing.
And you're more experienced. But if it's a small neckline, sometimes I'm like, oh, I'm good with two. If it's a larger scoop.
If you're making something like a costume, okay, and what you do is... Maybe you sew one shoulder seam and then you put the neckband on and you, especially when you're making several of them and they're out of the same garment, you know how much to put on there. You know what sort of tension to put on the piece you're putting on. And I would say it's more like that. It's tension. It's not a stretch.
Yeah. Well, let's back up a minute. Like, you know.
If you stretch, what happens, Mallory?
Or no, I want to back up further than that. I want to go to, like, the motivation behind the question and the motivation perhaps behind the advice.
Okay.
Because someone who's new to knits is going to come in and say, any advice for sewing on knits? And they've probably heard that it's maybe difficult for machines to handle knits, or they've heard that your seams can pop or not be stretchy or whatever. And I think that the justification I've seen a lot for this advice is people think that if you stretch the seam as you sew it, that will somehow help the seam remain stretchy. Yes.
Well, it remains stretched usually.
It can't. Yeah. So
happens.
Then what actually happens
or
is
out of shape.
Out of shape.
Right.
Yes.
So when you stretch fabric and you just go ahead and try this at home. Take some knit, two layers of knit. Okay. Take one and stretch it and sew it.
Right.
So, and use a length of four on your stitch, straight stitch. Okay. Then take the same two pieces and don't stretch it, length of four stitch and sew it. And then look at your stitches.
Mm-hmm.
You will notice on the one you've stretched that your stitches are closer together.
That's right, because the fabric gets to relax.
Because you just made made those stitches smaller because you spread them apart when they sewed, and then when you let go, they went back together. Mm-hmm. So now you have excessive stitching.
Yeah. So when you stretch as you sew, you're going to distort the fabric. And we just did a podcast episode on this about lettuce edges, about intentional
lettuce edges
fabric
is distortion.
Distortion.
Right.
So it can definitely like be of use, you know. So we're like assuming you don't want that, okay? And also the really wonderful Zigzag Live that you did about leg openings, showing the two elastic applications and showing how not to get the, like, you have a pair of underwear, if you've ever sewn underwear, and then you get a really wavy leg opening. ZD did that live broadcast in the for the Zigzaggers about how not to get that. And, you know, sometimes you get a wavy leg opening and you put the garment on and it's fine. I, you know, it's not like I would say to somebody, well, take it out and never show that to anybody, because I've done it too. Mm-hmm. You know, it has happened. It is a challenging thing. It's not an easy thing. But anyway, that broadcast was all about, you know, what to stretch and when and what to not stretch.
Right.
As you're running it through your machine.
So when you apply elastic, mm-hmm. you are usually, I mean, if you're stretching anything when mm-hmm. you apply elastic, you're stretching the elastic and not the fabric at all.
Right. Okay. And you got to be, so that's a lot to handle. Okay.
Right.
You're running two things through the machine and you're supposed to stretch one and not the other. And maybe if you're doing fold over elastic, like we did in that mm-hmm. broadcast, it's like they're sandwiched together.
That's
so
right.
It is a skill to gain there. But when we talk about seaming two pieces of fabric together, okay, this is a little simpler. And let's just say you're doing like the side seam of a t-shirt. Okay, like these seams are equal. There is no easing. You don't have a boob bump, okay, just on this t-shirt. You know, there's no easing. And if you want to preserve that stretch of your fabric and you want to get a nice finish and you want to get a stitch that your machine will handle well, stretching the fabric as it goes through the machine is not the way to get that, okay? You will just get a wavy stitch.
Right.
You know, and maybe if you're working on a more stable knit, it'll be less wavy, you know, than if you're working on a slinkier one. But if you really stretch that, like ZD said, the stitch length you've chosen will actually end up being shorter.
Right.
And then the fabric will have been distorted, and you will have bulk because of the shorter stitch length.
I think you really need to think about the distortion and mm-hmm. the bulk of things. That's where I always, I think, come up with something that looks good, is when I have considered, am I distorting this? Mm-hmm. Is there too much bulk here? Is there too much stitching here? You know, and when I say bulk, I also mean you can have too many stitches per inch.
Yeah, you can over perforate your
yes.
fabric. You can like overwork,
yes.
you know, your fabric for sure. And we've talked about that before. So let's take a quick break and let's talk about like what you can do a little bit to be successful on knits that might assuage some of this stretching the fabric through the machine tendency. ZD, are you ready for another Sew Here box?
Yeah, we haven't done one in quite a while.
Can you tell the folks at home what exactly is a Sew Here box?
A Sew Here box is a collection of useful sewing tools, an exclusive swag created by the world's funniest and most knowledgeable sewing podcaster.
You mean us?
Oh, I'll include you, yes.
I think it's a pretty good description. This Sew Here box is the refresh edition. It includes some old standby favorites that you might have used up or that you wouldn't mind having duplicates of. Or if you're new to the Sew Here box, you might not have any of these things, like ZD's favorite scissors, cotton organdy, power shaper net, and magic mauve thread.
Plus, I hear we're including some refreshing swag this time.
That's right. I can't wait for everyone to see it. We're only shipping 100 of these boxes, and there are just 40 boxes left at the time of this recording. Go to sewhere.com/go/box to get yours today.
Sewing out loud.
Hey, y'all. Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com. Hey, y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Okay, I think the reason a lot of people want to stretch the knits through their machine is because they're not feeding through the machine properly.
Correct.
Don't you think?
I believe you're correct.
Yeah. So when you do, they will go through.
And what is the advice?
And what's going on?
And what advice do we see a lot of time here that's not good?
Mm.
increase your presser foot pressure.
Or decrease it.
Or increase it. Either one.
Presser foot pressure. People are always like, do you have presser foot pressure?
Wait, wait. If you increase it, you're mashing out the fabric. And essentially, that's sort of the lettuce edge effect, right? Yeah. So then it will stretch itself through without you stretching it. If it's too loose, again, it won't feed at all.
Yeah. So,
or it'll bunch up.
So I think maybe someone has figured out, oh, well, if I stretch this fabric and kind of make myself into the feed dogs and run it through my machine, at least the seam gets sewn, right? For sure. But what we would tell you to do, first of all, is if you are working with a knit that seems hard to work with, don't stitch right on the edge of your fabric.
Right.
Okay. Give yourself
give yourself a leader.
Yeah, give yourself a leader. Right. You know, so give yourself a leader to start, like that will end up behind your foot, but then also give yourself to the right of your needle some seam allowance so that your needle isn't just punching that knit down into the bobbin area. Speaking of needles, use a needle that will help you.
And it isn't always a knit needle.
That's right.
Could be a stretch needle.
That's right.
I've actually had to use, Microtex needle on some knits because they're tight and they have a lot of spandex in them.
We have done a podcast about the three types of needles that you can use. Well, I mean, there are more types of needles that you can use for knits, but there's jersey/ballpoint. So be aware. Those are the same thing, everybody.
Yeah, jersey and ballpoint are the same.
Are the same thing. Okay.
Or they could call them knit too. I think they've
Does somebody call them knit?
They used to. I don't think you see that anymore.
Okay. I see. Yeah. All right. There we go. Jersey, ballpoint, and knit. And then there is a stretch needle. Okay. And that's different-er. Okay. Than those needles. And then we talked about Microtex needles, I think. So, first of all, there you go. Give yourself plenty of room on the fabric to be stitching. Test with a needle that you think, you know, if you're having trouble, give it a bit of a test with some different needles. You can start with a universal. It might work.
And sometimes a universal will work because a universal is not a sharp.
That's right.
A universal is between a sharp and a ballpoint.
It's kind of, right.
It's sort of semi-sharp.
So sometimes that might work depending on the knit. Well, you know, that's part of the problem here too, is a person who asks, do you have tips for sewing with knits? Maybe doesn't know that the term knits encompasses almost an infinite amount of fabrics.
Well, that's the
nowadays.
Other thing. And you know, the reason now the stretch needle, you know, that came in with all of the lycras, all of the rubbers.
The rubbery rubs.
Yes.
Yeah.
Basically spandex lycra. So there's rubber fibers running through there. They're no longer fabric fibers. So
and then we find ourselves back at the Microtex, which was a needle I believe that was created before a stretch needle.
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so? Mm-hmm. Okay, never mind. So it was meant to go through microfiber though.
Right, because microfiber was created after spandex.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Yeah.
If so I remember right.
But at the far end of the spectrum, everybody's telling you to use a jersey ballpoint needle. And then we're like, oh, well, maybe this super duper sharp needle will work because you have such a densely knitted fabric.
I have so many jersey needles that like.
Yeah, we don't use them very much
anymore.
I know,
we just don't use them anymore. Yeah. We don't sew with jersey, really.
Right, because a jersey technically is like knitted fabric with no spandex in it.
And everything has spandex in it now.
Yeah, now everything does. Yeah. Now, we are getting back to people want the fabrics that are all natural fibers, like the merino wool jersey.
They're always getting back to that.
I'm just saying.
There's always this go between the natural fibers and
the synthetics and
blah, blah, blah,
this, and you know what's helpful for us, what's helpful for the environment. So anyway, okay, you've got seam allowance, you've got the right needle, okay, and stitch and stitch length, everybody. I can't hammer this home enough. Go tell your friends, okay.
So they can remind you.
Go tell it on a mountain, okay? Because I see this so much in the group, a super duper short stitch that someone says they're unsatisfied with. I would never go, I do not go up to people randomly and say you should have lengthened your stitch. I do not give unsolicited feedback. But when someone says I don't like how this turned out or why is this wavy? Or why isn't my machine advancing through this? The zigzag that your sewing machine is automatically set for, or that your manual settings are for, is for a woven, generally, for, like, you know, doing a zigzag on a woven. And when you're on a knit, you need a longer zigzag, and sometimes narrower, depending on your machine and what it has. Some machines, you know, they don't have very wide.
So when I started sewing on knits,
yeah,
you did a straight stitch that you... added the width to.
Yeah.
So you only added like a one or maybe a two to
yeah.
it. You know, and that was on a regular sewing machine.
I love the... Yeah. Okay, so here we go. What does preserve stretch in a seam? If not stretching, what preserves it, Mom?
Well, I don't know. You mean you want to preserve the stretch? You've got to let the stitch stretch too.
Yes, and a zigzag stitch stretches
yes.
because those points are off. Set.
They're off center. Right.
Yes. So it allows for more stretching
right.
between the fibers. So when that seam wants to stretch, it can. So
right.
there were a few people in the group. Actually, this is kind of interesting. People were talking about the shoulder seam
mm-hmm.
on a t-shirt.
Right.
And the person said, I don't have any clear elastic. And of course, everybody jumps in and says, I don't use clear elastic. And I was like, yay. You know, because
right.
I don't like to use clear elastic either. I use ribbon. I use a little bit of power shaper net. I use
selvage.
Whatever.
Yeah.
You know, the fabric. Ribbon, though, you used ribbon when I like to use ribbon.
Well, ribbon was always easy because it was cut. It was there. It was on a spool.
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
It tends to be convenient for us. So, but then someone did comment and say, you know, I straight stitch that seam.
And that's okay as long as you're sure you're not going to stretch that
And she
seam.
Said that. She was like, right. you know, I really don't think. She's like, no one's grabbing on to me.
Right.
I'm not stretching that out. And I liked right. their explanation.
And
you know.
I have sewn knit tops with a straight stitch.
Right.
If there was no reason for them to stretch, as long as they weren't a negative ease.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
you can use a straight stitch.
Yeah,
if you don't expect it to stretch.
I just did that easy tee where the top is knit.
Right.
Well, and then the other
Well,
easy...
right, adding knits and wovens together.
Yeah, so,
yeah.
well, actually, though, the whole top was knit, like
uh-huh.
the entire upper whatever.
I mean
fourth.
The shoulder area or whatever.
Yes, yeah. so the whole neckline was knit.
Yeah.
And I just surged and straight stitched it because
right.
I didn't need to stretch it over my head.
Right.
You know, I could have zigzagged it. I could have done a cover stitch.
Right.
You know, and then the other easy tee I did where it was woven on the front and knit on the back, same deal there.
Right.
So
when you're sewing a knit to a woven, there's absolutely no reason to have a stretch stitch because once that knit is sewn to a woven, you have stabilized it.
Yeah. Now, I would
just like stabilizing the shoulder with a strip of woven.
I will say, though, on the shoulder seam, so it's like I make my t-shirts on the serger.
Right.
So I'm over at the serger.
Right.
I'm not
going
to go
doing.
Over to my sewing machine
right.
and do a straight stitch there.
Right.
If I was constructing it on the machine and I did use a straight stitch, I would still put ribbon in it in the shoulder seam.
Well, I think you're just talking about reinforcement
yeah,
there.
I mean,
that's not a bad idea.
I just want to say,
right.
I'm going to give the
but
disclaimer there.
Whoever the person was who said she straight stitched
mm-hmm.
the seam, the shoulder seam, that is a very viable thing to do.
Right.
Like I said, if you're not stretching that seam, if you don't have to worry about it, it will keep its shape.
Yeah. So I think that, you know, it's possible that if someone is, quote unquote, stretching the fabric through their machine mm. and it's working for them, you know, maybe they're not actually stretching the fabric. They're just helping the machine
advance
it.
They might be giving
it.
More of a guide.
Yeah.
And there's definitely a difference between stretching and, you know, doing a little push or,
right.
or you know, guiding or whatever. Now, the machines we have, we generally only have to guide.
You
know, they feed through just fine. I just had someone ask me if they could sew a boat cover with their machine.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, who made it? The manufacturer. And they said, as long as I get like a really strong needle. And I said, tell me more about that machine.
Mm-hmm.
She says, what do you mean? I said, so like, is it a very good machine? I said, what can you sew with it? She goes, well, I've only sewed like the napkin. You know. I said, how much did you pay for the machine?
Yeah.
$90. I said, it won't sew a boat cover.
No, you will.
I mean, you know, she's got an AC motor.
And you'll...
She'll be so frustrated. She'll, you know.
And in order to, like, if she wants to keep sewing on her $99 machine, don't mess it up with a boat cover, right?
Well, I was just going to, that's exactly what I said to her. I said, or you may be able to sew that boat cover and it will be the last thing you ever sew.
Right.
I told her that too.
Let's like recognize the limitations of our machines, right? Well, even like sitting here next to this top of the line, you know, Destiny. Actually, it's not top of the line anymore. But would I sew?
In its day, like 2 years ago.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. In its youth. You know, would I sew leather shoes on this 12 hours a day for 5 years?
Yeah.
You know, like, probably not. Okay, so everything has its limitations up to some point, you know.
Right.
So, yeah, that's a very good point.
Now, would I sew a boat cover on my Destiny? Yeah. I probably would sew it on the Accomplish.
Yeah, and you'd sew it on your Destiny, and you wouldn't be sewing, like, everybody in the neighborhood's boat cover.
Right.
Right.
If I was going to sew boat covers, I would go to Tacony and go, I need a commercial machine.
The Taxo or whatever. Yeah.
The Taxo. Yeah.
That's an important distinction there. But I think that sometimes when people say
although I was sewing rugs on it the other day.
I know.
It does amazing things.
You were sewing... No, what you've been doing lately is you'll cut some weird thing with the rotary cutter. And then I come up here, I'm like, what the hell is all over this rotary cutter blade? Carpet glue. Carpet glue and carpet fibers again.
Like I said, I don't know how people live and that don't sew. I guess they just throw everything away. I don't know, and start over.
I have to say, you were talking about, you know, there's a difference between like stretching and sort of feeding.
Right.
We will tell you to support your fabric behind
Absolutely.
The foot sometimes,
yes.
Especially if you are doing something like a leg opening. Because that part behind your foot, when you're in a circle, it can want to just like go off to the side and get things out of whack.
It will push things away.
And you need to say, no, I'd like you to be in this position right now. So it's not like we sew without our hands or something.
So for those of you who have not listened to all our podcast or lived through the history of this podcast with us, I mentioned someone said use a walking foot when sewing knits. And that is out there. And a lot of people will tell you to do that. We have a podcast on that.
Mm-hmm.
We do not recommend it. We have never done it. We have never had to. We sew on our sewing machine. We have never, ever,
lengthen
ever
your
had
stitch.
Yeah, we have never had to use a walking foot. It's absolutely unnecessary. In fact, it can cause you issues like going around a curve or trying to make a corner. You can't do that with a walking foot.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I hate to be so black and white about it because I know someone will say, "Oh my God, it changed my life."
And if it did, it did.
So I just want to put that out there. But also,
I'm just saying, go listen to our philosophy and listen to what we do.
We
because
do have
it's
a justification behind it because, like, that.
And like I say, we sew on a lot of knits.
And we sew
a lot.
And we've sewn on a lot of machines and we've seen
a lot
of walking feet, huh?
Yes.
Well, you know what I think?
Well, that's the other thing, too. Walking feet,
I think.
When we talk about machines and how, you know, this one won't do this or that, walking feet are the same. Walking feet, some are better than others.
Okay,
some function
this is
better
what I was
going to
say. I think maybe the cheaper walking feet help with knits because they don't do as good of a job
that might be true.
At what a walking foot should do.
That might
now,
be
this
true.
Is not, so this isn't a bad thing,
right.
Like necessarily.
No.
So
no.
If it helps you, then yay.
Hey,
you know,
if it works, it works.
If it works, it works.
That's
so
right.
We don't, you know, I don't want to take that away. But this is my theory. There are nicer walking feet and there are cheaper walking feet, just like any piece of equipment, right?
Right.
And I think some of the cheaper walking feet.
Some of those walking feet are stumbling feet.
That don't,
they're kind of shuffling feet. That's what they are. Yeah.
But if they really aren't putting as much pressure and stamping power on the fabric, maybe they are helpful
maybe they
for
are
some
helpful
people
to
for
some
knits,
people.
You know?
But I wanted to bring that up because I said that about walking feet.
Well,
and like I said, if you don't have the history or you haven't listened to that podcast is there. I think it's valuable to listen to it because we discuss why and why not and, you know, the different ways we sew on knits.
You know what maybe we didn't bring up in that podcast specifically? So we bring up industrial machines because then you do a good job of explaining what a real walking foot actually is in industrial machines, where it's like the whole foot coming up and down, you know, clomp, right. Clomp, clomp. Okay. Here's the deal. In an industrial setting, no one's ever going to sew a knit with a walking foot.
No.
Okay,
that's
so
right.
That's very true. I did see some really cool footage of someone using the flat lock machine. So if you have bought ready-made clothing and it looks like a loopy cover stitch on both sides, they call that a flat lock machine in the biz, I guess.
In the home biz?
In the commercial industrial factory, you know,
right.
Garment. Sewing, and it's like, you know, you overlap the fabrics and it cuts and
stitching from
the top and the bottom kind of right. It was cool to see. I'll try to post that, but it was in a group and I don't think it was like a public video.
That's why Baby Lock is called Baby Lock, because mm-hmm. that's where they came into the industry, was with what some of us call a serger. So it was an industrial overlock machine that a couple of the engineers said, we can make this one for home. So they went and made a baby lock.
And they don't keep you from having a baby.
No, they don't. Their baby lock is
good. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so I think that is a pretty good discussion of why you should consider what kind of weight you give to the advice of stretch it as you sew it. For knits, if that comes across your path as you're learning to sew, if you're going to give that advice, you know, think about what that actually means and what that could mean for somebody who takes it super literally and stretches the bejesus out of their fabric as they run it through their machine and then winds up with this wavy seam. So Zidi, anything else to add on that?
I'm sure I'll think of something after it's over. You do not have to use stretch thread to.
Oh, wait, that's the next podcast. We got a good question about stretch thread.
So,
yes.
But it's all about needles. It's all about fabric.
It's all about,
most of the time it's all about how you hold it.
So
many times.
I'll just disagree subtly with you. And I think just the stitch length thing.
Well, it is.
It comes up so much.
Yeah.
You know? I feel like that's the number one piece of advice that I end up giving in mm-hmm. the self-sewn wardrobe. And a lot of people are like, thank you so much
right.
for this, you know.
And it
worked.
And, mm. you know, you can have the best machine in the world, whatever it might be to you. And if you don't have the right needle and the right stitch length and decent thread, you probably will not get the result you want.
You won't be happy, yeah. Okay, well, everybody, thanks for listening. And you can find us on Instagram. We are at SewHereCom. Zidi, take it away.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.
Hey, y'all. Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com. Hey, y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.